that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
it's
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, January 29th. January is almost gone, and we're glad that you joined us. And we've got a full crew this morning. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
And Jason, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And Josh, way down south, good morning.
Good morning.
And Brother Paul, way up north, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And again, Remnant, we say good morning to you. We thank you for joining us. The program, Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are here with our coffee, with our Bibles, with like-minded Christians, ready for some godly, proper, manly fellowship. And we'll talk about a few things that are going on. We'll have the phone lines open in a little bit. But as with all things that we should do, we're going to open up in prayer. Jason, we'd give that honor to you, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction that we go today. And we pray, Father, for this country and this land. And, Father, we just ask, Father, for you to save America again. We ask, Father, that you save Canada again, Father. And we ask, Father, that you just lead and guide and direct on what's going on up in Canada to the north of us. And we pray that you just... I'll let their voices be heard. There's a lot of stuff that's not being talked about up there, and I just pray, Father, that the word gets out. And we pray, Father, that you stimulate your people to rise up. And we pray, Father, that you raise up men and women, God, once again, Father, in this land. And we pray, Father, that this is a prosperous land and that people turn to you and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways. And, Lord, we just cry out to you, Father, for our salvation and the salvation of this land. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, Remnant, phone lines will be open this morning, 307-745-5913. And Jason, you want to start out with that, with what's going on up in Canada? I didn't know if you had details on that or not. I've been down printing a newsletter.
I've got some details. I don't know. I know it just keeps coming in. 150 miles of truckers was some of the last stuff. I know it went from 50 miles to 75 miles to 100 miles to 150 miles of trucks. And it's kind of interesting because, well, basically one of the things is what started this is they made these truckers that they consider essential workers. And they made it mandatory for vaccinations across the borders. And these truckers are saying, no, we're not going to do it. And decided that they were going to make it mandatory. Well, the trucking industry into Canada, there's a lot of trucks. I know a lot of truckers that run across the border back and forth between Canada and the United States, all the way down into Mexico. And, you know, it's a big business. It's their livelihood. And they really don't want to do it. And so they decided that they were headed to Ottawa, and you should see the caravans and the amount of people that are just, I mean, the videos and the pictures are just unbelievable. It is, I mean, it looks like, it's like nothing that I've ever seen before, and it's something that the news ain't talking about a whole lot. And then it was kind of interesting because Trudeau, I heard this yesterday, I haven't been able to confirm it, but I heard Trudeau, which is the president of Canada, he got exposed to the COVID and was going into quarantine for the next 10 days. So kind of a convenient time for him to hide out. I know right before that that they were talking about all these truckers and bikers and stuff coming into Ottawa, and then there was, they're kind of worried about it because there might be some violence that breaks out. And it's like, gee, what do you think? It's one of those peaceful protests as of now, but it could that could change at the snap of a finger, and it just depends on, I don't know. It's interesting.
It's from one end of Canada to the other. It's from Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, all the way to British Columbia. I mean, it's you can't imagine how huge this is. It makes me think of when the Saxon begins to hate. That's what it sounds like to me.
It does.
They just had a move. You look on YouTube, you cannot believe it. They're standing there 18 below zero, you know, the viaducts are just covered with people waving at trucks just miles long. I mean, I don't think there's everything like this ever happened on the face of the earth before.
I don't think so either. And it's not just semi-trucks either. It's pickup trucks, it's cars, it's
tractors.
Anybody that got a vehicle, basically. Every overpass is crowded with people when they get those trucks coming through that are cheering them on. There's banners all over the places. I've never seen anything like it.
That's what I understand is going on in Europe, too.
Really? Okay. Interesting.
The guy showed me on the thing yesterday. It looked like about 10 countries this is going on.
Yeah, that Derek from Canada, he said that it was now beyond North Bay. This was yesterday. And it's expected to be as many as 1.5 million people, over 60,000 trucks, in Parliament by tomorrow, which would be today. You bring an extra 1.5 million people into town. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's cold up there, too, boys.
And it's all,
but it's, I mean, it's exciting, and we need more stuff like that to happen. So I don't know. I'm working on putting together some video clips and stuff on it that hopefully we'll be able to share with the Remnant. I mean, it's interesting times, different times. If anybody has any more information, just make sure that they send it to me, Jason at sfaw.org. There's a lot of stuff that I looked at that's been taken down. There's a lot of stuff that's still up, and you just got to get it quick. But I know that there's a, we'll see what happens. I don't know where this is headed with what's going on up there, but it will be interesting for sure.
I wonder if any of the local preachers out there are leading the charge into the Capitol there. I sure hope they are, but I kind of doubt it.
They've been leading us a long way for a long time.
Well, I was a little bit sarcastic there when I spoke.
Yeah, I heard the sarcasm. Josh, what do you think is going on over there?
It sounds like a blessing to me. Like we talked about last week, you know, what's it going to take to make us back salty again? And I sure hope that we make that turn sooner than later, because the process is not really enjoyable.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
when you're
go ahead, sir.
Just going to say, when you're being trampled, that's not a pleasant thing. But you're right, Josh. That's what it takes. You know, you mentioned that a couple weeks ago, and that we, you know, we are in need as a nation, as a people. And his people are not just in this nation; they are in Canada and in the European nations, and they do need to get salty again. And what does it take? It takes being trampled, being taxed, being torn up is what it needs. And we're seeing that happen. And the result, I agree with you 100%, Josh, is the people are getting salty again. And that's a good thing. Go ahead, Zach.
Oh, yeah, I was just sitting here thinking, you know, you have all that stuff going on, and, people, I think is what we see happening is people are, I don't know if they're necessarily protesting for specifically themselves and their livelihood. I mean, yes, you have to do that, but, you know, everything that's going on, they're realizing their freedom and their liberties are being taken away, and, you know, they do understand that our liberties and freedom is given by God, not these governments. And if they don't stand up, I think people are understanding, at least I hope they are understanding, that they are doing this for the generations to come. Because Jason sent me a video about building up soil. And one of the guys that's big into cover cropping, one of his first statements says, you know, we as the people that are here now need to understand that this land belongs to the future generations just as much as it does us. And the ones that it doesn't belong to is the people that are in the past. So, you know, whether it's land, political, like, things need to be set straight for the generations to come, and that are going to be grown up, you know, 40, 50 years from now. And, you know, I hope people realize how high stakes of a game is actually being played out right here. You know, I mean, you just look at, like, the gun sales, like, how high up they are. I mean, you know, the place that I like to go to and, like, buy little parts and this and that, I mean, like, they can't keep stuff on the shelves. You know, as soon as it comes in, I mean, people are getting pretty preppy, in my opinion.
Well, that's such a blessing. I don't know how many times I've heard, you know, the conversation of what's next. And that's not something that, even in the not-so-distant past, that you heard, you know, because people were asleep and they weren't looking at the big picture. But now people are contemplating, okay, this is what they're doing here, and this is what they have done. What's next? What's coming? And that's weighing on people's minds. That's a blessing to have that much of an awakening, to at least be looking and realizing that, you know, we're in the middle of a process that someone else set up for us, and they are pushing in a direction. So that awakening right there is a very important key to our people moving forward.
And people are learning how to say the word. And people are learning how to say the word no. You guys remember how Pastor Peters used to explain to us, like, how do we say that? You got to put the tongue to your tongue to the top of your mouth, and it's no. That's how you do it. It's no, and that's what you're seeing going on in Canada is no. We're not going to do that. And like the mandate of if you own a business and you got over 100 employees, you have to vaccinate them. And people were saying no. They brought them to court, and the court, you know, it was kind of like the way I see it was a half win, you know, like, okay, if you're a business owner, you know, but the medical people still have to do it, you know, so there's more than one way to, they're fighting. And, you know, we have to continue with no. And, you know, that's the way it is. And we have to say no to a lot of other things. It's just not the vaccine. I mean, you know, there's many other things that we have to say no to and not put our energy into.
They interviewed a trucker on I seen it, and he said, I got vaccinated, you know, I can go across the border and stuff like that. He says, but this is way bigger than vaccination. This is about our freedoms, you know. And he said it all in just a few sentences. He went along with it, but he realized that this whole thing is way bigger than a vaccination. This is just a manipulation on fear of people. And the people falling for it. Well, look at the ball games we've seen recently. They're shoulder to shoulder. That's kind of flipping the system off, too, in itself. You know, they turned to the wrong God, but at least they flipped them off. So, yeah, it's way bigger than vaccinations, you know. And I don't think that's even working like they planned, because now I think they're working on World War III.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and, you know, we've been praying about the vaccinations, that for our people, even if they do take that poison, that God would have it to be harmless to them, you know, because of their ignorance, and just praying for the protection of that blood. And so when we pray that, we should be expecting to see that. And I do hope, Paul, just like what you said, that it's not having the effect that that they wanted. And I do pray that God's got his hand over his people and is protecting them, and it's just frustrating them for not getting the results that they want. That's what we should look to and look for, if that's what we're praying for, and that's what I've been praying for, because a lot of folks out there that I care about and love that have fallen into that trap, I feel like, of vaccination. And I don't want them to be harmed from it.
After going to a couple of these protests and stuff, you know, there's people there that it kind of shocked me about how many people were there that were vaccinated, and talking with people, and but even they had the attitude. It's like, you know, he is like, this isn't, I'm not anti-vaccination, I'm anti-tyranny, you know. But there's a problem when the government is telling you that you got to do it. And that's what people are having a problem with. I mean, what happened to my body, my choice?
That only applies to abortion. Sarcasm.
Yeah, I was seeing, I read an article, I think it was Neil Young. He was all bent out of shape at Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan's a big podcaster guy, and he got the COVID, and he was pushing the ivermectin and zinc and that other one. I don't remember what it is. But so Neil Young, I mean, I guess there's this platform, and they're both on it. Well, you know, this Rogan guy,
yeah, they're both on Spotify.
And he was saying, well, this is what I did, this is how I got over it. Well, this one singer's like, well, he demanded that all his music gets pulled off in this platform because this Rogan dude is spreading misinformation. Well, Rogan's still alive, and he had it. And, you know, I mean, what's this guy? Why is he so mad? Why is he? You want the end result is you're both of you claim to be saying that you want to protect life, and you know, like, I don't know, it's just crazy. Like, and then a bunch of other singers and artists are following along with them, and it's just insanity, you know. But people just think too highly of their opinion, of their own opinion, and I. Seems like the older I get, the less I think my opinion matters.
You know, it's funny you said that because people think they're persecuted because they have a difference of opinion. That's because they're so darn proud. They think their opinion is right. But, I mean, you know, they think that's persecution. That isn't what it is.
No.
The difference of opinion is not all wrong. Iron sharpens iron.
Well, that's a fact, and, you know, sometimes we'll argue pretty heatedly on something if we both believe something firmly, but the good thing about those differences of opinion is you should be able to come together and find the truth out of it, and a lot of times it's somewhere between what those two opinions are, you know, and you both grow from it, because your opinion really don't matter. What matters is what the truth is, and we find the truth through the Word, and you know, there's nothing wrong with necessarily having an opinion as long as it's grounded in the truth. But there's been many times when me and Jason have disagreed on something, and hey, we dig into the Word, try to find the truth on it, and that's good for us.
Amen to that.
I don't mind locking horns with somebody every once in a while. I mean, that thing's fun.
So one thing that we've seen, or I've seen, and we were discussing this morning here, is that it seems like people are pulling their money out of the stock market and investing in tangibles. I know property here, the property values have gone through the roof. My neighbor is, he's in the finance industry and all, and we were talking to him and just how the property values, because of the demand, have went through the roofs. And I think that's pretty interesting that, you know, people are pulling their chips out of the system and putting it into something that's tangible, you know, whether it be in some of the preparations that you spoke of just a few minutes ago, or property or whatever. I think people are realizing that their system is not real stable.
Yeah, you hear that?
It's been very on.
I've heard that very thing on NPR. Traveling, you know, you flip through the radio stations, and I try to hit that just to, you know, I can only stomach about 10 minutes of it, and then you just have to change the station lest you puke. You hear that. You know, they always report, well, the Dow is down 300 points today, or the stock markets took a dip today, and they put the most positive spin on this dying economy you've ever heard, you know, because the stock market has been going down. The Dow has been dropping. Oh, they talk about these, you know, gains over, you know, in 1985, and they do. They are propping up this economy as hard and fast as they can. But it is. We are seeing that. We are seeing the stocks drop. People, we're seeing that same thing out here. Out here, Josh, the property values have just gone out the roof. You know, I mean, Colorado's been that way for years, but even up here in Wyoming, it has just and neighbors from California. We still get more and more neighbors from California. Met one last Monday, and yeah, wanted to move out of California. It was getting too bad, and so thankfully he's a machinist and came and opened up a little shop out of his house. And but that this, as we've talked about it, this Babylon is falling. We are witnessing this, the decline, the shift.
One thing is that system was never set up for us anyway. It was set up to trap us and to feed off of us. And, you know, they make money whether the market's going up or if the market's coming down, whichever way, they make money both ways. But normally our people, you know, simple-minded folks that we are, you know, whenever it goes up, yeah, people make money. But whenever it comes down, a lot of people lose everything they got, you know, that's tied up into it. And I feel like there's more people that are waking up and seeing that and trying to come back to more of the correct way of living, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's just from my little neighborhood here, the small number of folks that I know, you know, compared to the country.
Now, we're seeing it all over. We are. And I know Jason's commented on it before, and he's been on top of that. He's found us two more books, because these are, you know, books in this in the agricultural field, and not in you know, how to get more gain out of your 100,000 acres. But we've got, he's found two new books for us: Skills for Growing, Healthy Soil, No Dig, Fewer Weeds, is another book that. That he's found that we're carrying now, just got them in, that talks about that very thing, sharing skills that, well, maybe great-great-grandpa had them. You know, maybe the settlers in the West, when they came out, maybe they had them. But a lot of things have been lost, but people are looking for them. And so it's a new book that we have. It's by Charles Dowding, Skills for Growing. And, you know, the books we've had by Gabe Brown, who is gaining in popularity. They had a big article in the Fence Post, this last, our local agricultural paper, periodical, comes out every week, had a big article on him this last week. And and so that, you know, that getting back to how things ought to be, it's gaining in popularity. People are buying the books. They're wanting to know that thing, those items. Another book Jason found for us, Polyface Micro. It's Success with Livestock on a Homestead Scale. And so whether you're out of an apartment or on an acre or 10 or 100 or whatever, great comments, things that have worked, you know, things that have worked. And so... and that will work on a small scale and work on a large scale as well. And so two brand new books. We're working on volume 2 of The Dragon Slayer. It is almost, it's all printed. We've just got to finish getting it tabbed and out to the post office this next week. And these new books are, you can take a look in The Dragon Slayer and there's ordering details there. But you're right, Josh. People are, they're wanting to know these things. They're turning. They're realizing these ups and downs in the stock markets. And I think they're realizing that those things are not, like you said, they're not built, they're not made for God's people. They're made for the parasites. I mean, who can come up with an idea that if the economy goes up, we make money, and if the economy goes down, we make money? It's not proper. It just isn't. And so people are waking up to it. They are turning back to the land, back to, there are more people here in Laramie where we were minus zero yesterday morning. That's what the thermometer said. Figure that one out. I don't know, but it comes up that way on the digital thermometer. But there's more people in this Laramie area that are raising chickens and have eggs for sale and trade than I've seen in the last 20 years. And it's not the easiest thing to do up here. But more and more people are, I think that's just an example of getting back to the land, of trying to, you know, to do something that gives them more satisfaction as opposed to more money in the bank. anyway.
Well, it's not something that you can't overcome, but it's not a real good idea to wait until you get tossed out of the boat to try to figure out how to swim.
That's right. Amen to that.
We should be building those muscles that we need to do the work. And, you know, so much of the time we figure out when you get into this stuff that it is, one of y'all said about, just spoke how enjoyable it is to get back to what's right and correct. And, you know, I know Jason and I talked many times about with the cattle and the agriculture, and, you know, it just, there's a calming, and you know that it's right whenever you're doing these things, and pretty awesome.
Amen to that.
I don't think we're aware of the poverty that's right around us either. You know, my daughter works in a beauty salon or whatever, and a guy come in the other day. He wanted to make an appointment for Thursday. She said, "Well, I'm not busy right now. I do it right now." He said, "Well, I don't have no money. Hopefully, I'll have it by Thursday." Well, anyway, she talked to him, gave him a haircut, and he had a dollar in his pocket and gave him that. And then she tells all the other stories. People just are calling in that don't have money. There's plenty of opportunities. You know, we have to notice people around us that might need help and just look for that, too, because that can make a huge difference in their life when you step up and encourage them a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And, it seems like World War III may be around the corner. I know the Bible talks about wars and rumors of wars, and, boy, the rumors are flying. They are. Saw this article by the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky. How you like that? I think I got that pronounced right. There's a first. But he says that just in the last 2 days, the Ukraine has lost almost $500 million in value to the Biden war hype. And he says, we don't need this panic. He's condemning international corporate media and world leaders like Biden for publicly predicting imminent war with Russia yesterday, saying panic by these has cost over $400 million in foreign investment. He tells reporters, this is the president of the Ukraine, okay? He says that Biden is telling the world that Russia would immediately invade the Ukraine, something Kiev has repeatedly stated that there is little material evidence to believe, that this could lead to economic devastation in the country that would in turn increase the probability of a full-fledged Russian assault. And I thought this was interesting. Just got this printed off this morning. Zelensky says, we have had record-breaking GDP, gross domestic product, in 2021. Record-breaking numbers. Best economy we've ever had. We have the growth. We've had all this growth in a short period of time. But after all this false information is going out, $12.5 billion worth of whatever their media or their method of exchange is, of investments were taken out of the Ukraine. And so, you know, it's things that make you go, So Biden has been pushing, and we've been hearing from the media, oh, Russia's invading, Russia's going to invade. So what's happened? When Biden jumps on the bandwagon and starts putting it out, all of a sudden all this value drops over there. They've had the best economy that they've had in years. And then it's Biden's announcement that starts to destroy this. And I think when we couple this with understanding that those that rule, you know, it was said earlier, they make money coming and going. They make money when the stock market's up. They make money when it's down. Anyway, it was interesting to me. Another twist on this. Another twist on you know, what's going on. And he goes on and says, you know, we don't have tanks in the street. We don't have, you know, people fleeing and things like that. The president over there, Zelensky, says, We don't deny the presence of Russian troops near the border, but he says the risk of invasion is less than it was the same time last year. And it's something that they've been living with. And I know we've reported on it. I have, just to, you know, just to try to get people to look and to see and to look into it. He says, I don't think the situation is more intense than it was last year. It's just there was no coverage of it last year. So there's more going on behind the scenes than we're being led into. Go ahead.
Biden's nothing but a puppet. I mean, who's pulling these strings? Let me read this little thing I got out of this magazine. This Barry Perryman, PhD, whoever he is, I had the occasion to sit in the lobbies of central banks for several Asian countries and China. You would not believe how many brand new U.S. $100 bills change hands there on a daily basis. I have seen stacks of them on forklift pallets. New cardboard boxes, box-style briefcases full of it. Okay, who's pulling these strings? See, Germany had a no-interest banking system. They were prospering like crazy. The Federal Reserve, to its hilt, is pulling all these strings and spreading all these rumors to cause stir. And we just got to shut that damn TV and the noise off and just start thinking for ourselves. But see, I'm telling you, China is in the hook of this Federal Reserve, just like we are. Look at all the propaganda that's going over there. They're our enemy. Well, let me tell you, they are, but whoever's pulling their string is a bigger one. But they always want to stay in the background. You know, that book from Colonel Moore, Satan's Children and the German Connection, he explained that more people died after World War II than during it because they starved them out. But they were fighting that banking system, what it was. I heard a Jew at a farm thing. He has a meat business down in Detroit, and he got up there and spoke, and he's escaped the prison camp 7 times. He got up there, and he said, that had nothing to do with the Jewish thing. That was all made up after the war. He says, if you were for or against the government, it's why you got put in a concentration camp. So it's the money. You track the money down, and they're pulling the strings all over the world. They've got John Kennedy and Abraham Lincoln killed because they were going to change the money system, and they were dead in no time.
Amen.
So that's who's pulling strings.
Yeah. I just thought it was interesting that Zelensky comes out and says this. We've lost $500 million in 2 days because of this. And if that doesn't let you know, follow the money. Follow the money.
I think Italy was going to sue Amazon for over $1 billion because they've destroyed their economy in Italy, and they're destroying America. Don't use Amazon, because all they're doing is siphoning money, and they're destroying local businesses.
But Paul, it's cheaper, though. It's cheaper.
But what do you want to pay? Well, you want to pay welfare a little bit extra to your neighbor.
I agree 100%. I do. You know, I do. And when it starts happening on a scale like we're seeing, like you guys talked about, with the Canadian truckers are doing and things like that, it's not that hard to do. You can find food locally. You can find raw milk. I don't care where you are. You can find raw milk locally if that's what you want. Fresh eggs, good beef. Jason was telling me about a new beef place that just opened up about 100 miles from here, which is really close. And they opened up because there was a need. They were using another local beef place that just got backed up, too busy. And this has been going on the last, year, I think, and just got opened up last year. Brand new building, employing about a dozen people locally, great product. And we've talked about that. We see that happening around and around all over the country. It needs to happen more. People are realizing that these Brazilian brothers that own the big meat packing plants and whatnot, that it is not much different than the economy, the businesses taking everything overseas, and that's where the money goes. You find a local butcher, you find a local meat processor if you're raising beef, You know, you can help your neighbor out if you'll try.
You know, Richard, but what you guys are talking about there, you know, following the money in these big central banks, and then you see people, you know, taking their money out of the stock market, and you see people trying to get their own, you know, their little egg thing going on there. That really is a, if you want to scare them people, you see people, they see people thinking independently and going to survival mode. That is a death sentence to those big companies. And then when you see people that like you start networking, you know, you got the local butcher, then you're bringing your cow there, and then you're selling beef. Like, you know, you're taking their profits out. And, you know, and I always look at that kind of stuff like those are acts of war, you know. You're not putting your energy into Walmart. You're not putting your energy into Amazon. You're putting your energy into your neighbor who you know and you care for. You want him to do just as good as you're going to do. And you got, that's the mentality that we need to have, is like, because start up your own economy. That's true good economy.
Yes.
It's like Paul said, in Germany, they had a interest-free banking system. They were prospering. That kind of stuff right there, because money is nothing. Money can be a roll of paper towel. It could be a tube of grease. It could be
yes.
food on the table. It could be shingles. It's all, money can be whatever you want it to be.
Absolutely.
And people need to understand that. You know, in your bank account, it's just your gas tank. And you can make, you can go wherever you want with it. And just be wise. That's kind of my two cents on all this.
Well, this country's faced that before in the war between the states. You know, slavery was on its way out. It was working its way out with the Industrial Revolution coming in, but it was states' rights. It was what the South could do, and more importantly, what the South could not do, the Southern states. And they had a wealth that did not feed the parasite banks, and the parasite banks could not stand for that. Anyway, that's another story. Don't mean to get off on that, but we've had that very thing. But our people have forgotten who they are. They have forgotten who their God is, and they have forgotten their history. It's all about right now. Oh wait, got to have the latest iPhone, you know, what's whoever doing? That's the important thing right now, and not who we are and where we've come from. But, you know, all throughout our history, it was when the people, you know, the revival, one point, I'll give it to you, brother. The revival came when the people found the law. When they turned back, they found God's law. They read it. It pierced them to the heart, and they turned back to him. And it is no different today. It's not.
Go ahead, Uncle Paul.
This country's been under attack to divide it. That war between the states, the South was financed by the Rothschilds to destroy this country. That's who their banker was, and that's what that whole motive was. Them rats have been laying in the back all the time, and you follow the money, but they were trying to destroy this country that God put together, and it didn't work. But when you realize what really went on there, that's the same old banking story again.
Yes.
You know, we don't need it. We can print our own money. We don't need to have them do it. But, you know, the people don't know the law. You know, it's a sin to charge interest to a brother. Now, that destroyed this country right here, their whole attitude, what's going on. I mean, it would fix it if we really understood it. But, you know, how many people don't have to work because they can draw money off the stock market or something? They don't have to work. They won't work.
No matter which way you cut it, it goes back to there in Hosea, and Pastor Peter used to pound this into our heads because he had to, because we're sheep, and I don't know if you know anything about sheep. They got thick skulls, and you really got to pound this in there. He says, my people die for a lack of knowledge, okay? So, like, you know, I was sitting there talking with this young guy, and I was asking him about Abraham. And I was like, well, explain to me what you know about him. And he goes on this rant, and, you know, I'm sitting there listening to him, and I realize that this guy doesn't know squat about Abraham and the covenants with Abraham and how that's a cornerstone in the foundation of the of a true Christian faith. And I got, and I listened to him. I go, well, you need to go here. You need to go here. You mean, you got to write this down, read that, and report back to me. And, you know, I go, whoever is teaching you this stuff, you need to fire him. You need to fire your preacher.
Yes.
Okay? And the thing of it is, I know his preacher is his dad. And I'm like, fire him. He's leading you down the road. And I know it sounds harsh, but it's the truth. You know, I'm like, and I told him, I'm like, this is basic stuff. You know, you got to get your basics down in order to get this, in order to even start to fix this whole mess. And so no matter which way you cut it, it goes back to people not knowing their Bible, listening to dirty bird preachers,
yep,
and believing it and doing what they say and following along with the system. And, you know, we're in this system. We are stuck in this system right now, and we got to figure out how to get out of it. And, you know, there's one way to get out of it, and that's to repent and then God, let God lead the way. So you got to, we got to keep everything into perspective. And, you know, I mean, I don't like what they're doing just as much as the next guy. But the thing of it is, you know, God said to Israel, you know, I'm going to put somebody above you if you don't obey my law. And, you know, so it comes right back to the actions of the nation, action of the nation of Israel. And it's because they forgot his law. So that's the way out. You got to turn around and get your politics right.
Well, as soon as we put him back first, he'll take care of the details because, you know, you kind of kept me from going to prison. Don't think you're getting out of the system God put you in. And you're absolutely right. We're stuck in this system, but we are coming out because it's coming down, and something will have to replace it. And it's going on, every, you know, this gardening thing that we're all talking about. It's, we're going back to basic. It's happening before our eyes. And the good part about it, God's in no hurry. You know, he's very patient with us. You know, he's giving us time to repent, but there's somebody going to leave here. Josh talked the other day that it's the rapture of the wicked. You know, the wicked, the boys, I've said that. I never heard it said that way, but the wicked are always cut off. It's never the righteous.
That's right. That's right. You know, back in the days of Gideon, we see the answer, the strength that we have when Gideon said, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. And that's who it was in that day. Today you could say, and has given us into the hand of the Antichrist, into the hand of the Jew, into the hand of the Federal Reserve, however you want to fill it, whatever word you want to substitute there. And then it says, the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength. When we acknowledge, when this nation acknowledges that God has done this, it's not the blacks' fault. It's not the enemy's fault. They're just doing what they're directed to do by our God. That it is, he has abandoned us, and it's because of our sin, because we have turned from him. But when we turn back, because we see that in individual lives, we see that in churches, I yearn for the day that we see it in communities and cities and counties and states, that they acknowledge that it's God that's done this, that this nation was built, that the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, every founding document this state, this country has, and every one of the 50 state constitutions were founded on the Word of God, and give praise to him. Go back and look at your state constitution and see. And when they realize that and return to him, well, then it changes. Then it changes. Go in this your strength. That is the strength we have in Christ.
Well, I think that's happening because they interviewed a lady up in Canada. She says, this land belongs to God, not to Stuart Trudeau.
Yes.
You know, and they're acknowledging him because they got just like, we got to get our nose rubbed in the dirt till we wake up. And, you know, we're the prodigal son and follow that pig pen that we're in and come out. And, you know, but we need our nose rubbed in the dirt is what we need. You know, I seen it coming a long time ago, but I think the whole nation is starting to see it. You know, and you can't trust the news media, even what's going on in this country. I think there's way more going on in this country than people know. Because people, I seen a lady, she got fired from a hospital, and she was had a big smile on her face, and, you know, I think she was happy about it. Because, you know, the corporate agents got these grips on you and make you think that way, and we don't all fall for it. The Saxon's got the law written in his heart, and he will come to his senses at some point in time.
So, Paul, you saying that you've been seeing it for a long time, having thinking about the fact that we are blessed and we've got a lot of knowledge, but also we got to remember that, you know, who more is given, more is required, and so we have a responsibility to be those ones that are out there sharing that 11th hour message with the folks that aren't there, and you know, tilling the ground, being the ones doing the work. And that prodigal son, the joy whenever he returned home is just so outstanding, you know. And the parable of the 11th hour is exactly accurate. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's not too late to change for all of us, you know. But a big part of that change is recognizing who our gods are. You know, who are you truly worshiping with your fear, with your time, with your money, with what you do? Who are your gods? And you're the only one that can be honest with yourself and make that revelation.
And right, it is an obligation. It's not a sacrifice. You got to get in our bone. We think we're in a sacrifice to God. He owns everything we have. It's our obligation to do it.
Yes.
You know, back to who we are, you take a dollar bill and you flip it over, look on the back, and that eagle's got those, I don't know, it's 12 or 13 arrows in his talons. Those are the 12 tribes of Israel, what that is. And I don't know if it's 13 with me from Manasseh, but you can call them, but that's what that is. This country knew who they were when they started. And it's really been taking us, and they did it through our religion. That's how they did us in.
And we allowed it and embraced it through our rebellious spirits.
Yeah, we got a rebellious nature. I do sometimes. It's getting better.
I like what Zach said earlier about, you know, the older he gets and the more he learns, the less he thinks of his opinion. And my parallel to that, we'll always say, is the more I learn, I find out the less I know. You know, there's not any room for pride and thinking we're something or we're special, because how many times in your life, whenever you thought you had something figured out, then, you know, you turn around and find out that you didn't have a clue.
God is right. You know, it's got to go.
I was talking with a guy a few days ago, and we were talking about mentors in our life, and him and I worked at the same place. This was 25, 30 years ago now. We worked at the same place together, and we realized that the guys there that were running the show were probably the worst mentors that two young people could have. And, you know, and like, in order to be a good Christian man, you need to understand that everybody is watching you and you are always mentoring. And I work with these young guys and they always talk about mentors that they have, and they're, you know, they're preachers and they're elders of the churches, and, you know, and they always try to tell me what these guys tell them. And, you know, and I'm always down with a sword fight when it comes to talking about the Bible. And, you know, I just flat out tell him, like, you come off me and you want to talk Bible stuff with me, I'm like, I intend to kick your ass. I'm going to do it. You know, if you want to come in and start talking about the Bible stuff with me, you better be ready. And, you know, and I get done with these guys, and they're just, they don't even know what to think. And I realize, like, all these mentors out there, most of them don't even, they don't even rate to be mentors. And, you know, that's something that we need to understand as Christian men, especially as we are training people by our actions and by what we say and by how we handle people. And people are watching, and we need to keep that kind of stuff in mind, you know. And whether you're doing business or you're talking to somebody about the foundations of the Bible, we need to know that. And because there's a lot of bad mentors out there, just look at the condition of the spiritual condition of the people. And, you know, I mean, we got a lot of work ahead of us. And like what we were talking about earlier, the people know something's up, and they need, like, heck, what I do is keep people on target, whether I'm taking down a tree or I'm talking to my kids. That's what I do. I keep them on target. And there's a lot of people that need to be on target. They know there's a target, and they need to, they need to be told what it is. And so we got a big job ahead of us. We really do.
But that work is an opportunity, just like what Paul said. I mean, it is an opportunity for us to grow while doing that work. That work is good for us just as much as it's good for the person that we're doing it for.
Yes. It is.
You know how you get big jobs done?
You get started.
Yep. I used to pull up on a big old tree. I just hated looking at that thing. I said, well, get started. Launch is at 11:30, so, and you'd be surprised what you had done in that time.
That's right.
But, yeah, the big job, get done, get started.
Well, guys, we're all out of time.
And the thing is,
Zach, well, we'll call a timeout, and we'll come back next Saturday and do this again. Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, and as they used to say. But, guys, thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming in this morning. Fantastic comments. I know my batteries are recharged, and I'm encouraged. And so I hope, Remnant, I hope you are as well. We thank you for joining us. We do want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us. ScripturesForAmerica.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. Click on the live video stream again at ScripturesForAmerica.org, and you can join us. We'll have a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth and a new message for you as well. We'll give you the opportunity to join with the saints, to gather with like-minded Christians, and have an opportunity to partake of communion, to remember what our Lord and Savior did for us. We're told to do that, to do this in remembrance of Him. And so we do invite you. We thank you for joining us today, and hopefully we'll see you at church. Men, thanks again. God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our...